We're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. You are pretty new at this special needs thing. You may even be pretty new to this parenting thing. In any event, you are a little overwhelmed and want to know what to think about next with regard to this child. Join us as we chat about the swirling emotions, overwhelming options, and practical everyday developmental helps for our preschoolers with special needs. But first, I think Tom has something that he would like to share with us today.
Yes, we like to start with a devotional, some thoughts from the Word of God. It's important to realize that everything that we do is to the glory of God. All these studies, all these child development suggestions, everything that we bring to you about your child is under the sovereignty of God. So everything we do, we are to do to the glory of God. And we're told in the New Testament, whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Well, today I'd like to just point out and read Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. This has been extremely meaningful to me this week. A friend posted it on Facebook, and I pulled it off and started thinking about it and praying through it and meditating on it. And here's just a few thoughts. But first, let's read the verse. Out of the ESV, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The first thing that struck me about this verse, especially raising special needs children, our typically developing children, is that we need help. And who else to help us better than our Lord, our God. He says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Every day we can look for something new. His mercies are new every morning. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And so if we're looking for God's blessing, looking for God to work, looking for his help, his strength with our children that we're raising, that our children whom we love, we can look to see what he is doing and what he is about to do. The second part of the verse, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When we are lost in the wilderness, what do we need? We need to find our way. We need to make a way in the wilderness, and he provides direction. And rivers in the desert. When we think about the desert, we think about it being very dry. And God provides rivers in the desert. These pictures are beautiful to show God's provision as we raise our children.
Even in those darkest moments, we can hold on to the truth of God's word. And his strength can pour through that, and his peace can pour through that. The circumstances may not change, and they might even get harder,
right,
but we can trust our God and his faithfulness to be with us through it all.
Right. God provides not only our needs financially and materially, but he provides spiritually, emotionally, everything we need to raise the children that he's given us. Yes.
So you might be kind of new to this whole special needs thing. As we said in the introduction, you may even be kind of new to the whole parenting thing.
Mm.
You have a preschooler, at least one, and that preschooler may have some kind of special needs. Life is way different than you thought it would be. Every parent has a dream that their baby will develop well and hit all the major milestones in a timely manner. You may have even gotten some kind of record keeper to record all those milestones. However, this child is developing differently than you expected, or at least the experts are telling you that he or she will develop differently.
You're not sure what to think or where to head. When our Amy was a baby and not doing well medically and developmentally, someone shared a story with us that was very helpful. And Julie, I'd like you to read that. It's called A Trip to Holland.
And this is by Emily Pearl Kingsley. And it really did touch our hearts back when Amy was a baby. I am often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It is all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The flight attendant, this was written a while ago and she called it stewardess, so I'm going to say the flight attendant, comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland?" you say. "What do you mean Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life I have dreamed to going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks, and you must learn a whole new language, and you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they are all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever, ever, ever go away. Because the loss of that dream is a very, very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to go to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. This story, Trip to Holland, helped us to look for the lovely things. We began to focus on what could be helpful and what was delightful about our baby girl, just the way she was. We sought to have joy in the journey. You didn't think you'd be going down this road either, but now that you find yourself here, you wonder, what's next?
You may be feeling a little overwhelmed with many things. There are such diverse and strong opinions out there about what parents should do with their children. You care about loving this child in a way they truly feel it. You care about helping this child develop basic skills for a preschooler. You care about the best environment for this child in many areas, including educating him or her.
Your highest priority with this child is to be a good parent, but you're trying to figure out just what that means. And then there's taking care of the caregiver. I love talking about this because women in particular are notorious for being all about everybody else. Not that men are not. I mean, I think you're the perfect example of caring about everybody around you. But there are so many moms out there who don't really take care of themselves. And there are your own basic needs, Mom, but you don't often think about it. How to get you refueled and refreshed, and how to stay healthy. Let's stop here a minute and talk about taking care of you, parent. One thing we didn't count on was depleting ourselves as we poured out and poured out for our children. And Tom and I both felt it. But one day, my body decided it was tired. I was having a great deal of trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I had very low energy. I also realized that it was difficult to think as clearly as I once was able to do. When we continually neglect our own basic needs for rest and refueling, the well runs dry. So please remember to put a plan into effect, and as much as you can, get the rest you need and schedule refueling for you. Do you like to meet a friend for coffee? Schedule it. Do you get refreshed by sitting quietly with a cup of tea and a good book? Schedule it. Those two happen to be my favorite ones. I like coffee, and I like to sit and have coffee with friends, and I definitely love to sit quietly and read a good book. Do you have a talent or hobby that refreshes you? Make a way to put that into your schedule. Create friendships with other parents and switch off childcare. Whatever it takes, get refueled. Get creative in how you can do that. This is not extra. This is not selfish. This is important not only for survival, but for abundant living. You cannot be a good caregiver if you never get refueled. Okay, let's go back to the child. Let's think about some specific focuses and options that you might want to think about. Things I remember when Amy was a baby, there was a comment made by one of the nurses at the hospital at the NICU that said, "You are going to have a lot of follow-up." We had no idea what that meant. A lot of follow-up with what and with who? We soon found out there was lots of doctors and nurses because of medical intervention that she needed. We needed to consider operations and medications. Oh my goodness, how many antibiotics was Amy on when she was a baby? Experts and follow-ups with medical people. And then therapies, occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy. We know that you all might be thinking about that as well. And then, what about educating this child? Preschool for typically developing kids, is that where we want our child to be? A preschool for special needs kids, is that where we need to place them? Or do we need to homeschool our preschoolers? We know that these decisions can be overwhelming. We understand that overwhelm. We want to communicate that often parents of children as young as preschool do not realize that they have options. We have noticed this, haven't we, Tom, lately? When we talk to parents, we lead a special needs parent support group at our church, and we hear the parents talking to one another, and it looks like sometimes the parents really don't understand that they have lots of different options. They think they need to go down one road because that's all they've been exposed to. We encourage you to consider as many therapy, medical, and educational options as you can. We encourage you to pick a direction, head there, and see if it's a good fit for you. Sometimes we research until the cows come home, now that we live in the country and we see cows coming home all the time. Sometimes we just research so much and don't make any action steps. So sometimes we just need to make the action step, and if it's not a good fit, please know that you can switch out and do something different. It is, if it's a good direction, for now, rejoice and enjoy it. If it's not, if it becomes not a good option, either because the child is developing differently, and that's not the best environment, or you're finding out things about that environment you didn't know about before, there's nothing wrong in evaluating the situation for your child and for your family. Everyone is different.
Some settings work for one child or family and not for others. Let's talk a little bit about home.
Okay, so in the home environment.
Yeah, in the home environment, you'd want to create a warm, welcoming, and loving environment for your child at home. You may be asking, what can I do at home, whether you're homeschooling or not? We always like to say input, input, input. The key is, for the development of any child, the key is input, input, input. And I like to use the illustration that when a child starts talking, you say, where did that come from? It's because months and months you've been talking, you've been giving input, all these words. And then they start to say, mama, mama. They don't just say mama and dada all on their own. It's because they're copying the input that you're putting in. And this principle goes for all areas of their development.
That's an excellent point. Basically, we live in an output society, don't we? Our children, and it's true for us adults as well, are expected to show us what they know, what they can do, and what they can see. Often, this expectation to show us comes before the child has received enough information for that skill or knowledge.
And some children need more input than others.
Absolutely. So our Amy girl, she didn't walk until she was four. She didn't talk until soon after that. And so if we had given up before she turned four because we thought, oh, well, she's never going to attain that particular skill, where would she be now? So we have to be willing to be patient as they develop. But it's all about input. Our solution is this. Decide to spend your day with your child in teaching mode all day, every day. Be the teacher. Just keep inputting information and experiences. Eventually, most kids will be eager to show you what they know. It may not happen at the speed you wish it. You just have to keep on keeping on. You just have to be willing to keep inputting, keep teaching. So, as you consider your child's development, here's some fun things to think about. Do much fun-based learning. I love that concept. Just the term, fun-based learning. Don't you like to learn and have fun while you're learning?
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to have fun. We don't want it to be a grueling experience.
No, and so sometimes our school environments are all about grueling, you know, and yeah, we have to teach our kids that hard work is something that, you know, it builds integrity and all that good stuff. But, you know, when they're little like this, it's not so much about throwing learning at them as it is doing fun-based things. They learn by doing life. So, taking them to the park, taking them to a children's museum, going to playmates' houses, a whole new environment. Our daughter has the granddaughter now is 9 months old. I can't believe she's 9 months old. And what's fun is to hear Katie talking about taking Evelyn to different people's homes and how Evelyn is learning different toys and different environments and different ways that she can move around in those environments. And it's really fun for her. And then there are preschool gyms. Lots of those are fun for kids. What else can we do to help our children to learn? Give them the opportunity to have manipulatives like
Play-Doh, letters, numbers, building toys. We like the Lincoln Logs.
Oh, yeah. Legos. Yeah, Legos, yeah.
Puzzles, sand and water play, all the things that you can just think about where they're manipulating. They're using their hands to use.
So when you're doing manipulatives, there's a lot of sensory input that's taking place. And then there's brain activity that's going on with learning letters and learning numbers. And if it's fun, if it's high interest, think about yourself. When you have a lot of interest in something, don't you learn it a lot faster? Don't you learn it a lot better if it's fun for you? Yeah, so you want to bring that passion and love for abundant living to your children and present all these different things for them. It was very sad a number of years ago when a mom said to me, oh, I don't buy Play-Doh. It's too messy. And I was so sad for her kids because I thought, really, we have to get down and dirty. We have to get messy with our kids so that they can learn and grow and develop. Another area that we would be wanting to focus some time on is gross motor skills. So, you know, we think about these milestones that our children go through. And some of our special needs kids take a long time to do them, like our Amy did. Crawling, army crawl, on the belly, getting them to do it in such a way that really opens up those pathways in the brain and makes new connections. Crawling like an army person, creeping up on the hands and knees, playing like a lizard on the back, and lots of other activities that are gross motor type related are making a way for your children to learn how to do things like reading. Can you believe that? I remember when I first learned that creeping and crawling and marching and skipping and all those things had anything to do with reading. That just didn't make sense to me at first, but it does. So the other thing we want to look for is helping our children with to develop their fine motor skills. And there's lots of different things you can do. Maybe simple cooking and baking projects would be helpful. And sand and water play again. So making homemade recordings of things you want them to know has been very helpful for our kids. You know, maybe you want them to know their name, address, phone number, names of key people, other interesting information. I remember, I think we did the presidents for Amy, and she learned all about the presidents. And play the recordings throughout the day while they're eating or while they're playing or while you're riding in the car, resting. Creating a routine that works for you is helpful for preschoolers. Charts. Maybe you can set up a chart with pictures on it that with the morning, afternoon, and evening routines. Meal times, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Bedtime, going out, coming home. The kinds of things they can expect so that they can learn their routines. Charts for chores. As they develop a little bit, get them involved in doing chores. Help them to become a really important member of your family. You may want to create stations in your home. Maybe children's kitchen supplies, children's baby care supplies and dolls, library space, arts and crafts, building toys. Perhaps you would like to create different themes to focus on weekly, like days of the week or animals, letters, numbers, people you know, transportation, careers. Remember, put the emphasis on giving information continually and focus less on them outputting.
Right. Now that your input is making a difference for them, know that it's always making a
difference. It's a good thing. Yes. It's a good thing. So don't feel like when you're playing with your children that you're not giving them the sophisticated educational learning experience. Everything that you present to them is a learning experience.
Input, input, input. Okay, very good. That's that for this week. And so remember, it's never too late, and there is always hope for your child. We're Tom and Julie Meekins. We bring you these podcasts through the Ministry of Champions for Parents. We're USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they meet. And we've spoken to parent conferences, mothers of preschoolers, moms next groups, homeschooling groups, ladies brunch groups, church groups such as Awana,
mm-hmm.
Awana leaders. We also like to talk to them about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and become and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their community and beyond. If you know of any parenting group who's looking for a speaker, send us an email at champions4parents@gmail.com, and let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle in their families, and you are looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who's been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now. Goodbye.